Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up and welcome to the art of being well. I am a leading functional medicine doctor. I get to consult people around the world via telehealth, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I wrote Intuitive Fasting, The Inflammation Spectrum, Ketotarian, and the newest book is called Gut Feelings. If you want to learn more about my clinical work, our telehealth center, we actually have brand new telehealth patient options now open right now, and lots of free resources there for you as well. You can check it all out at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners of The Art of Being Well, you know, almost every episode, we're giving away free healthy stuff. So today we're going to give away free signed books. Every single month, no matter when you listen to this episode, we're giving away free signed books. So all you have to do for a chance to win is head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. Tell us what you love about the show. You can leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review itself, or you could take a screenshot of that review and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole. And every single month, we'll be going through the messages on Instagram as well as the Apple Podcast reviews themselves. And then I'll reach out to you. So many different spaces within wellness. So I have a course with Commune that's launched today. It is about intermittent fasting. So head on over to onecommune.com/Will Cole. That's onecommune.com/Will Cole. onecommune.com/Will Cole. Check it out. It's a masterclass on all things intermittent fasting. You're definitely going to want to check that out. Let's get to today's guest, shall we? His name is Jim Quick, the man, the myth, legend, Jim Quick. He is a widely recognized world expert in memory improvement, brain optimization, and accelerated learning. After a childhood brain injury left him with learning challenges, Quick created strategies to dramatically enhance his mental performance. He has since dedicated his life to helping others unleash their brain's true potential. For more than 30 years, he has served as the brain coach to a who's who of Hollywood elite, professional athletes, political leaders, and business magnates, with corporate clients that include Google, Virgin, Nike, Zappos, SpaceX, GE, 20th Century Fox, the Cleveland Clinic, WordPress, and such institutions as the United Nations, the U.S. Air Force, Caltech, Harvard University, and Singularity University. This man is a wealth of information. You're going to learn so much from him today. So let's get right to it. This is Jim Quick's Art of Being Well. Jim Quick, I wanted the day to come for me to be able to say, Jim Quick, welcome to the podcast. And the day is here. Welcome to the show, my friend.
So good to be here, Will. Thanks for having me. And thank you, everyone who's tuning in.
So let's start with just, how did you get here? I know a little bit about your story. I've heard you talk before, but many of our listeners haven't heard how you got here and are a leader in your space. So what's your story?
So My space is in the brain performance space. For lack of a better term, people call me a brain coach. Just like you have a personal trainer to make you faster and stronger, more flexible, greater endurance, I want your mental muscles to be sharper so you can think clearer, solve problems, improve your memory, read faster. My inspiration really was my desperation, if that makes sense. I grew up with some pretty severe learning difficulties. When I was 5 years old, I had a head injury, a traumatic brain injury when I was in kindergarten class. And where it really showed up was in school. Emotionally, I became very shut down. I had processing issues. So parents and teachers would have to repeat themselves over and over again in order for me to understand. I had problems focusing, remembering. I had these chronic migraines every single day as a child. It took me 3 years longer to learn how to read after my injury. So that was a little embarrassing. I would work really hard. And when I was 9 years old, I was slowing down my class. And I remember I was being teased because I was just not getting the lesson. And the teacher came to my defense. But I remember she pointed to me in front of the whole class and said, "That's the boy. Leave that kid alone. That's the boy with the broken brain." Mm-hmm. And that really became my identity. And I struggled all through school, through elementary school, middle school, junior high, high school. And I would work two or three times harder as everybody else, but I would still be on the other side of the bell curve, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, the story turns out okay, but it's a testament that with challenge comes change, right? Mm-hmm. With the struggles that we have, they can lead to strengths. And for mm-hmm. me, I learned ways to compensate. And not only did my grades improve, but my life improved. And, you know, mm-hmm. now entering my 50s, I've been doing this for 32 plus years, and mm-hmm. I'm just very passionate to building better, brighter brains, you know, no brain left behind.
I love it. So how did you turn that around? I mean, how did you become such an amazing brain coach, as you mentioned? I mean, to someone that really struggled in school, how did you turn it around?
So part of it was like a little bit of an intervention. I met a mentor when I was 18 years old, and he got me interested in learning for the first time. I was always curious that school taught us what to learn. Math, history, science, but there are no classes on how to learn those subjects. Mm-hmm. No class called focus or problem solving or creative thinking or memory, right? And I think one of the most important skills for all of us to master today in the 21st century is our ability to learn, to relearn, to unlearn, and apply what we're learning in our life. But this mentor introduced me to some very early personal growth books and The Power of the Mind. I mean, Napoleon Hill, Dale Carnegie, The Power of Positive Thinking. I mean, just like some of these classics. Yeah, it was something that I started going deeper in. I wanted to understand adult learning theory. I want to understand how my brain works so I could work my brain. How does my memory work so I could work my memory better? I started studying accelerated learning and multiple intelligence theory and speed reading and mnemonics. And in school, I just really struggled. But after 60 days of really focusing on this subject, a light switch flipped on and I started to really understand things for the first time. Mm-hmm. And because of it, I had greater confidence and my life improved. And because of it, I couldn't help but help other people. And I started to tutor. And one of my very first students that I was tutoring, she was a freshman. She read 30 books in 30 days, not skim or scan, but really read them. And I wanted to find out not how, I taught her how, but I wanted to know why. I'm insanely curious why some people know what to do, but they don't do what they know. And I found out her mother was diagnosed with terminal cancer, was only given 2 months, about 60 days to live. That was the prognosis by doctors. And the books she was reading were books to save her mom's life. And so obviously she was laser focused on doing that. So I understood why she didn't procrastinate and she followed through on, you know, what we were teaching. And I get a call from this young lady 6 months later, and she's crying profusely. And when she stops, I realize that there were tears of joy that her mother not only survived, but is really getting better. The doctors weren't really sure how or why they were calling it a miracle, but her mother attributed 100% to the great advice she got from her daughter, who learned it from all these books. Wow. And then, Will, in that moment, I realized that if knowledge is power, then learning is our superpower. And it's a superpower we all have. Mm. It's just we weren't taught how to use it, and our brains didn't come with an owner's manual, right? Every piece of technology gives you some kind of instructions, but the brain, you know, we don't really have that. So that's why I wrote Limitless Expanded to give people an opportunity to learn a little bit more about their brain and how to make it better and optimize it so they could learn better. But that's also, then not only did I realize that, you know, that learning is a superpower, I realized also that, like, my purpose. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it ever since.
Mm. You brought up a good point earlier of in school, we learn what to learn, but not how to learn. I mean, have you had any effort or any success with getting how to learn in schools? I mean, is there any move to make that happen?
Yes, they use a lot of our systems that we teach, the speed reading, memory, note-taking, focusing tools, in some of the top schools in the world. I mean, in school systems like in Finland, in South Korea, in the States, it's been a little bit more difficult. I've kind of taken a bottom-up approach because the system hasn't really changed a lot. My mother, and I'm very empathetic with teachers because my mother became a special education teacher to help me with my learning disabilities. And she went through the entire, you know, New York public school system and recently retired. The system hasn't changed a lot. You know, mm-hmm. They say that, I mean, we live in a world of autonomous electric cars, spaceships that are going to Mars, but our vehicle of choice when it comes to our own learning is often more like a horse and buggy. And people feel it. They feel slow. They feel like they can't catch up or keep up, or much less get ahead. A lot of people listening might feel like they're drowning in information. Like, to keep up, it's like taking a sip of water out of a fire hose. Mm-hmm. Maybe they buy books and they sit on your shelf and it becomes shelf help, not self-help, right? Or they are forgetful. They can't remember something that somebody told them, or they forget to go to a meeting, or they forget what they were going to say, or they forget where they placed something or parked the car or what they just read or someone's name, you know. And it's no wonder, because there was no class called memory. You know, I always thought it should have been the fourth R in school: reading, writing, arithmetic, and remembering, right? Socrates said learning is remembering. So as a memory coach, I'll often, if there's time with an audience, I speak a lot. I'll do a demonstration, like, well, I don't know, pass around a microphone in an audience, people introduce themselves, and I'll memorize like 50 people's names, you know, or they'll give me 100 random words or numbers and I'll call them forwards and backwards. But I always tell people, I don't do this to impress you. I do this to express to you what's possible. Because the truth is, for the most part, every single person listening, regardless of your age, your background, your career, education, financial situation, gender, history, IQ, you could do this too. Again, we just weren't taught. Going to somebody and saying, focus and study this work, or going to your kids and saying, remember this, that's like going to somebody saying, play the didgeridoo or the ukulele, who's never had any training or classes on how to do that. And so I'm just fascinated about how the human brain works. Mm-hmm. And I always wear a brain. If you're watching this on video, I wear a brain on my shirt and social media. I'm always pointing to my brain in pictures, because I feel like what you see, and it's in your awareness, you take care of, you see your skin or your hair, your clothes, your car, because you're constantly reminded. If that starts to deteriorate or get messy, you take care of it, you maintain it. Mm-hmm. But we don't see the thing that controls everything, you know, which is our brain. Mm-hmm. I want people to know their brain, trust their brain. I want people to love their brain and really use their brain. Mm-hmm. And the things that people could do are absolutely extraordinary.
You're blowing people's brains right here, right now, proverbially, is the fact that many people will relegate themselves to, I'm just not good. I'm not good at remembering. I'm not a good reader. Like, reading is not for me. And that's not the case, right?
Well, even take, like, again, it's learning how to learn, because when's the last time people upgraded their skills with reading? I mean, the last class most people had for reading, not like a college literature class, but a real class, was they were 6 or 7 years old. So fundamentally, people are still reading like a 6 or 7 year old. And the difficulty and the demand, the deluge, has increased tremendously. But how we read it and focus and retain it is pretty much the same. So that growing gap creates a, you know, like a health crisis. They call it information anxiety, higher blood pressure, compression of leisure time, more sleeplessness and rumination. So yeah, with whether it's reading or memory or focus, productivity, all the things that we teach, we have an online academy and we have students in every country in the world, 195 nations, and we get a lot of feedback. And just seeing these stories of people, different ages and stages, and even at events, people will admit the same thing. Like, just like you said, I'm a horrible reader, or I have a horrible memory. And I always say, stop. If you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. Mm. If you fight for your limits, they're yours. right? Henry Ford said, if you believe you can or believe you can't, either way, you're right. But I do believe all behavior is belief-driven. If people listening right now, they want to create a new result in their life, they want to lose weight or have more energy or read faster, whatever it is, they need to do a new behavior. In order to do that new behavior, they need a belief that says that's even possible, right? So that's coming back to a growth mindset, including like versus a fixed mindset. And just like, you know, things aren't fixed because we have neuroplasticity, right? With novelty and correct nutrition, we could make new connections and we could grow older, but in a lot of ways we could grow better. And that's been my experience. It's there's always a method behind what looks like magic. If somebody could easily remember names or learn languages or give a speech without notes or read faster, it looks like magic, but there's always a method. And so I'm different than a magician, where I like to pull back the curtain and then show people exactly what happens, because genius leaves clues. When someone is exceptional in some area, there's a process and a set of principles that they're adhering to. And again, the only challenge is we weren't taught those back in school or in work.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You've probably heard me talking about Puri recently. This is a brand I'm fully behind, and I know you'll love them too. If you haven't ordered any of Puri's high-quality natural food supplements yet, now is the time. It's essential that we get the vitamins and nutrients our body needs to stay strong and healthy. Puri was founded in Denmark in 2009. This country is known for their food safety standards. Every year, Puri receives the highest marks from the supplement unit of the Danish food authorities. And with Puri, every batch is third-party tested against more than 200 contaminants. One of my favorite products from Puri is their amazing omega-3 fish oil supplement that I have all the time. It offers a high dose of 2,000 milligrams of long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA, in their natural form. It's certified clean and fresh by the Clean Label Project and by IFOS. It's certified environmentally sustainable by Friends of the Sea as well. Take the next step to support your health with Puri. I worked with Puri on this amazing deal just for my listeners, 20% off site-wide. Just go to my special URL, that's puri.com/Will Cole, and use promo code Will Cole. This even applies to the already discounted subscriptions. You'll get almost a third off the price. So again, go to puri.com/Will Cole. Again, that's promo code Will Cole at puri.com/Will Cole.
Hi, I'm Claire.
And I'm Erica. We're the hosts of A Thing or Two. We are professional enthusiasts constantly on the hunt for the products, books, and trends that should be on your radar. And we share them with you every Monday, whether it's marinated olive oil that we're putting on everything, a deep dive on pillows, or the fact that suddenly gas stoves are on everyone's out list for 2023.
We challenge the friends we invite on the show to bring their own favorite thingies too. Like when Ellen Van Dusen spilled about the IG account that's keeping her current with the youths.
We also love a gift guide. We take listener questions, Dear Abby style, and tell you what to get your vegan minimalist coworker or your sister-in-law who loves to hunt.
So be sure to listen and follow A Thing or Two with Claire and Erica wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you feel like, and have you seen people having memory issues, like trouble remembering things or focus or trouble reading since the advent of social media and smartphones, cell phones, or is it about the same?
So I talk about in Limitless Expanded, there are four horsemen of the mental apocalypse, and it's driven by technology. Technology didn't inherently create it, but it certainly has amplified it. So really quickly, and I made them all D's because I tend to alliterate to make it more memorable. The first is digital deluge. This is the information anxiety I talked about. The amount of information is doubling. The half-life of information is getting shorter and shorter. I mean, I was doing a program at Google years ago. We do a lot of training at like Facebook and Nike and, you know, SpaceX. And the chairman said that the amount of information that's been created since human beings walked the planet to the year 2003, only a couple of decades ago, that amount of information is now created every 2 days. And just, I mean, think about it, podcasts and YouTube and social media. So it's doubling at dizzying speeds, but how we learn it is the same. That hasn't changed at all. So that growing gap creates that information anxiety. Another term is information fatigue syndrome, right? And so that's why we teach speed reading, accelerated learning, study skills. The second one, besides digital deluge, is digital distraction. And this is something that technology has definitely ramped up. You know, people have been distracted before, you know, the advent of iPhones and everything else. But, you know, how do you maintain your concentration in a world full of rings and pings and dings and app notifications, social media alerts? And so that's why we have a whole chapter dedicated to focus. And because focus is really key. How are you going to get things done? Your to-do list. If you're reading something, you get to the end, forget what you just read. Your mind wanders, or you wanders with your kids or when you're on a Zoom. So that's very important. The third one, besides digital deluge and digital distraction, is something called digital dementia. And this is a term in healthcare that basically states the high reliance on technology, like we're using our devices as external memory drives. And so we don't have to remember a lot of things. I mean, you think about it, Will, how many phone numbers did you know growing up?
Every single one that I had, right? Every family and friend, right?
And how many do you know currently, like current numbers?
Very few. And they probably are a lot of phone numbers from my past, right? That I don't even really need right now. Yeah.
That's digital dementia. It's the high reliance on technology. And by the way, I don't want to, I mean, people could YouTube and see me memorize hundreds of numbers on stage that an audience gives me, but I don't want to memorize 500 phone numbers. But it should be very concerning that we've lost the ability to remember one phone number or a PIN number or a seed phrase or a password or something we just read. I believe two of the most costly words in life sometimes are I forgot. You know, I forgot to do it and bring it, the meeting, the names. But on the other side, having a great memory is a great multiplier in your life. It makes every area of your life better and easier. Your relationships, when you can remember things about the person that you love or remember anniversaries and remember to take out the trash, it's certainly an accelerator for your career when you could easily remember client information or product information, give speeches without notes, sales scripts, you know, remember lots of data because we live in an expert economy. So that's why the largest chapter in Limitless Expanded is on memory improvement. And then finally, besides digital daily digital distraction, digital dementia, is this term that I coined, digital deduction. And this is kind of like digital dementia, the high reliance on that technology to remember things, but now not even remember. Now our devices is telling us what to think with algorithms. And even if you take something simple, like getting from here to there, we go on our phones and we put up maps or Waze or whatever. Before that, we would have to exercise our visual spatial intelligence. Right. And we grow that network in our brain. There was a study done with London cab drivers, taxi cab drivers, where different parts of their memory, like in their hippocampus, was more dense because they would need to study all the different roads before this technology exists. But I'm just really excited about, we've discovered more about the human brain in the past, I don't know, 20 years than the previous 2000 years combined. And what we found is we're grossly underestimating our own capabilities. The other reason I'm really passionate about this is because not only did I have learning difficulties and challenges, but at that same time, my primary caretaker was my grandmother, and she started showing early signs of dementia when I was 5. At the same time, I had my injury. You know, and she eventually passed when I was 7. And so, you know, we dedicate all the proceeds of this book to building schools. For our previous book, we built schools in Ghana, Guatemala, Guatemala, Kenya, offered health care to the children, clean water that keeps them from going to school, and also Alzheimer's research for women, because women are twice as likely to experience Alzheimer's than men. And unfortunately, a lot of the research is done on male brains and treatments on male brains. But, you know, this really informed my path in terms of what I do. But technology, again, is a wonderful tool, but it's kind of like if you have to go to a bank and it's 8 blocks away, you could jump into a Lyft or an Uber or drive your car, but we don't get our steps in, right? Mm-hmm. And so our brain is an organ, but it acts like a muscle. If I put my arm in a sling for a year, it wouldn't grow stronger. It wouldn't even stay the same, right? Everyone know it would atrophy. Mm-hmm. And different parts of our brains could be losing its mental fitness because we're just not utilizing it. If your offices or your apartment's on the fourth floor and you rely on the elevator and you're not doing the steps, very convenient. But, you know, sometimes you have to balance out your physical and mental fitness with just technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm curious to get your thoughts talking about brain exercise and technology and atrophying like certain parts of the brain because we're not using them. What are your thoughts on AI? I mean, to my mind, is it another way we're outsourcing learning and using our brain and doing things?
Yeah. I mean, one of a large chapter in the new book that just came out this month is on AI. And my dominant question writing that chapter was, how do you use AI to enhance your HI, your human intelligence? Mm. And for me, it's not artificial intelligence. It's more augmented intelligence. Like technology is there to serve, you know, our growth or make our lives easier to be able to, I mean, this is technology, you and I speaking, right? It allows this to happen. So different ways we use technology is to accelerate learning in the book is something, it'd be very simple. When we have dozens of different strategies there, but something like, let's say I mentioned neuroplasticity earlier, right? If one of your listeners or viewers, they're like, not really sure what that is, they can go into an AI chatbot like GPT and say, explain to me neuroplasticity in a story format as if I'm 8 years old. Right. And what it comes up with will give you a good foundation to be able to build upon. Right. We have a podcast like yourself, and it's a 20-minute show all about the brain performance and memory. And sometimes if I'm interviewing an expert and they are an author and I don't receive the book in time, and I'm not a big digital reader just because I don't need another excuse to be on a screen personally, mm-hmm. but I'll go into AI and I'll say, you know, give me a summary of this book, or I'll say, hey, give me some sample questions, like give me 10 questions. This is my guest, mm-hmm. and give me a dozen questions, questions they haven't been asked before. And that could specifically serve this audience. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I won't use anything verbatim, but it'll spark. It'd be a nice partner to be able to do that. So I'm not like just turning my brain off, but I'm using it as like a creative partner, even for speed reading. Right. We have the most popular speed reading course in the world. It's a 21-day program online to triple someone's reading speed. And we put a lot of that, those principles in the chapter on speed reading. But even our AI platform that we built, you could measure someone's reading speed, their reading comprehension, the best time for them to read based on their results, how much they retain. And we could ask probing questions of when the reading material that they have. In the chapters on memory, we talk about things like active retrieval, memory palaces, chain linking, story methods, all these methods to remember the things that you need to do. Mm-hmm. But you could use AI to say, hey, I want to give this toast at this wedding, and here's my toast, and you upload it and say, okay, using Jim's memory, you know, mind palace technique that he teaches, how can I more easily remember this? And it'll spit out a story that will give you some scaffolding that you just have to go through once or twice and you'll remember it long term, as opposed to sitting down for days or hours just memorizing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And we work with a lot of Hollywood actors, and I train a lot of the top TED speakers to memorize verbatim information. But the thing is, when you understand how your brain works, you can work your brain. And AI, like any form of technology, is there to make your life a little bit easier. And just going back to the Ubering to the bank or taking the elevator, those kind of technologies, I like to balance that out with being active. I can be an active participant in creating, remembering, learning, and I'm not just kind of putting my brain on default and not using it, because your brain is definitely use it or lose it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. What are some of your favorite, like latest breakthroughs in improving cognitive performance? I know you talk about it in the book, but I'd love to pick your brain right now about it.
Yeah. I mean, there are two areas that I focus on in the book. It's the software and the hardware. So the software are the strategies on how to read faster, how to focus, how to remember names. It's very specific. The hardware is the 3-pound organ between our ears, gray and white matter, that can be up-leveled also. Because think about it, we upgrade our phones all the time. We're always upgrading our apps or television, whatever it is. But when's the last time we took time to upgrade, you know, the most important technology, which is the brain, which has created all the other technology that exists. Mm-hmm. And so my approach would be, in terms of the needle movers, would be the software and the hardware. For software, let's say, if you want to be able to read faster, I think most people want to be able to do that, right? Most people spend about 4 hours a day processing information. You think about all the books or your research or emails or all the stuff we have to keep media, we have to keep a track with. If you just double your reading speed, that would save you 2 hours a day. Right? 2 hours a day, of course, a year is 730 hours, which is like 18 40-hour work weeks. I mean, that's like 4 months you get back saving, you know, a couple hours a day. And so it's a big needle mover. It's not small. Even capital is the most under-leveraged like asset that we have. So something simple like reading a book, I mean, this book will help you read all of the books easier because it's a lead domino. On our podcast, we had Jay, who wrote The One Thing and talks about the lead domino. It's like the first one you hit and everything gets easier after that. But this is kind of like the one book to help you focus, remember, read them all because you learn how to learn. But if you want to read this faster, one of the things you could do is, well, first get a base rate. So pick up a book that you're reading, put a little mark in the margin, and time your phone for 60 seconds, alarm, and then read for 60 seconds, then count the number, put another mark in the margin, and then count the number of lines you just read. And that gives you a base rate, right, of what you read that specific book at. And then I challenge everybody to pick up where you left off and just do one thing different. Use a visual pacer to help you read. A visual pacer could be a pen, a highlighter, a mouse on a computer. For most people, it would be their finger. Right? And you're just underlining the words. You're not touching the book or the screen that you're reading on. You're just above it. And you're just going margin to margin, not skipping anything, not doing any kind of fancy finger motions. And then count the number of lines you read in 60 seconds using your visual pacer. That second number will, for most people, will be about a 25, 50% improvement without any practice. And most people will remember more because they have better focus. Mm-hmm. So this would be an example of, you know, the hundreds of different kind of quick tips that are measurable because you can measure reading speed, comprehension, memory, focus. And the reason why it works, by the way, first of all, children naturally use their finger while they read until we tell them not to. Second of all, most of us do also. Most people don't use their finger when they read, but if I ask you to count the number of lines you just read, everyone will use their finger to go 1, 2, 3, 4, because they know it helps them to focus. And the third reason is your eyes are attracted to motion. If something ran in your room or my room, we wouldn't pay attention to each other. We would pay attention to what moves the most, because that's your survival, right? As a hunter-gatherer, if you're in a bush and you're hunting lunch, you know, maybe a rabbit or a carrot, whatever your diet is. If a bush next to you moves, you have to look at what moves the most because number one, it could be lunch. Number two, you could be lunch, right? Mm-hmm. So your eyes are, and also our nervous system works very closely together, our senses. You love like a fresh piece of like vegetable or fruit, like right off the vine, not sprayed in wax in a store for 6 months, but like a great tasting peach.
Yeah.
You know what it tastes like. In actuality, we're not tasting a peach because your tongue's not capable of tasting what a peach tastes like. You're actually smelling the peach. Mm. But our sense of smell and taste are so closely linked that our mind doesn't know the difference. You know it when you're sick. If you're congested, you can't breathe out of your nose. Some food doesn't taste like anything, right?
It's
bland. Same as your sense of smell and taste are linked in your nervous system. So is your sense of sight and your sense of touch. So when people read with their finger, anecdotally, they'll say, I just feel more in touch with my reading. And it's interesting because we have a 10-month-old. And if I go and say, look at my keys, and I shake it in front of him, he'll feel like he needs to see it. He has to touch it and then eventually eat it, right? But then on the other side of it, think about when somebody loses their sense of sight. How do they read? With Braille, using their sense of touch. So these are all just reasons why adults need to know, like, test yourself. Don't trust me. Do it for 60 seconds without your finger, do it 6 seconds with, and then just judge by results. But you'll definitely have better focus. And because you have better focus, because you're not regressing and back skipping. And that's a bad habit we picked up when we were kids. Mm-hmm. Because you have better focus, you'll have better comprehension and retention.
So it seems like with these quick tips that you teach us in the book, we can start seeing improvements in our reading, our focus, our memory pretty quickly. How long does it take a typical person to say proficiently, I'm a speed reader. I can retain information. How long does it take?
Yeah. Give me 21 to 30 days and okay. I got you. It's one of those things that's the length of our program also. And what I would say is it's just like typing. Most of us learn how to type using two fingers, hunting and pecking, right? Which is if you use all your fingers and home keys, I mean, you might drop a little bit, but you're going to make leaps forwards because it's more efficient. You're using five times more fingers, mm-hmm. right? And nobody, if they know how to type, goes back to hunting and pecking. Same thing with learning how to read. And I'm not talking about reading frantically. That's a misnomer. Not skimming, skipping words, getting the gist.
Right.
Because a lot of traditional speed reading is that, skipping words and getting the gist. And we train a lot of, you know, attorneys, financial advisors, a lot of medical doctors. You don't want your medical doctor to get the gist of what she's reading,
yeah,
right?
No,
that wouldn't make a lot of sense. And so maybe because I come from a memory training background, I don't think it makes sense to read something unless you really retain it, understand it. Now, that being said, once you know how to do anything, I mean, how long did it take us to learn how to type or drive a car or tie our shoes, right? Mm-hmm. A few weeks until we do it. And that's just how we do things naturally because we're right. at the unconscious competence. Same thing with reading. And it's not a lot. It's like 15 minutes of reading a day for 21, 30 days. And you see a marked improvement.
So if you haven't heard yet, I have this new favorite protein powder that I've been loving. I have it every day without fail. It's clean, simple eats. It is viral on TikTok. People freaking love this stuff. And I can understand why. It's so delicious and the ingredients are top notch. There's absolutely no chalkiness with this protein powder. This protein powder is a powerhouse of nutrition that offers a range of benefits for your body. Unlike many protein powders on the market, this formula maintains all of the bioactive compounds just like nature intended. It also contains a digestive enzyme blend to deconstruct a protein into usable amino acids that your body can actually absorb. They have 26 delicious, all-natural flavors. You can't go wrong with any of them. My favorite is simply vanilla. I mix it up with some almond milk and it tastes great. They also have many other unique flavors like the chocolate peanut butter, if that's your jam. They have coconut cream. And also another one that I love is their snickerdoodle flavor. It tastes like a snickerdoodle milkshake. One of the things I love about Clean Simple Eats, of course, is their high ingredient standards. Their protein powder has 20 grams of grass-fed whey protein, a complete protein, with no artificial ingredients. It's non-GMO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's gluten-free and it's third-party tested. So visit cleansimpleeats.com, use code WILLCOLE at checkout for 20% off your first order. Again, that's 20% off your first order at cleansimpleeats.com. Stress is at the root of nearly everything that makes life feel harder. Sleep loss, low energy, dissatisfaction, irritability,
illness, and so much more. And science has proven again and again that high stress is the foundational part of heart disease, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, autoimmune conditions, anxiety, depression, and so much more. Since 2020, 2 out of 3 people report feeling extreme stress, and well over 50% of people have trouble sleeping because of stress. Want to know one way to support improving all of these things? It's a formula that is called Just Calm. It features a proprietary mood biotic strain. It's called B. longum 1714, the most heavily researched and verified brain probiotic available. In multiple clinical studies, it's been shown to help you effectively manage stress, champion a healthy mood, and even encourages theta brainwaves, which is associated with creativity, intuition, great thinking, and flow states. It also is formulated with 3 targeted B vitamins proven to drive neural processes in the brain and supports optimal neurotransmitter function and promotes a better mood. Just Calm is a revolutionary new approach to counterbalancing stress and overwhelm and uplifting your body, mind, and soul. If you're ready to take control of constipation, bloating, and your stress levels, if you want to live your healthiest life yet, you can get 20% off your first 90-day bottle of Just Calm and also their other product called Just Thrive, that their Just Thrive probiotic today. Visit justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code Dr. Will. All right, let's talk about the area of nutrition for cognitive performance. What are some things that you think everybody should be doing in this area?
Okay, so hydration, the stars are there as I'm sipping my water. Your brain is mostly water, right? 75%. We had Dr. Lisa Moscone, who's a neuroscientist, nutritionist on our podcast recently. She was saying just even a 2% drop in your hydration, you're a little dehydrated, could affect your cognitive performance. And even staying hydrated could boost your reaction time, your thinking speed upwards of 30%. So in the book, I share some of my favorite brain foods, a whole area of science called neuronutrition, that your brain is only 2% of your body mass, but it requires 20% of nutrients and the oxygen, right? And so it's an energy hog. And some of those nutrients are a little different than the rest of our body. And so some of my favorite foods, and we teach people how to memorize the foods, because if you've ever gone to the grocery store to buy like one thing and you come back with 2 grocery bags full of things, mm-hmm. and you remember you forgot the one thing you went to the store for or something like that. I could show you how to memorize it also as well. Things like avocados, the monounsaturated fat. I'm a big fan of blueberries and all kinds of berries. They're very neuroprotective. I call them brain berries. If you eat, and again, I'm not a nutritionist or a medical doctor, right? Talk to your functional medicine doctor. Talk to Will. Get a nutrient profile done, a food sensitivity test, because not everything's for everybody. You know, a broccoli is high in sulforaphane, which is good for cognitive health. Olive oil. If your diet allows, eggs, the choline in eggs, leads to acetylcholine, which is an important neurotransmitter for cognitive health and cognitive performance. Dark chocolate is a fun one. Mm-hmm. not milk chocolate or high sugar, but generally what's good for, and this is an oversimplification, what's good for your mood, generally it's good for your mind. I'm a big fan of walnuts also. High in vitamin E, turmeric, the curcumin, the active ingredient there, get up to the lower inflammation. So, I mean, fatty fishes, if your diet allows again, mm-hmm. to get your omega-3s, your DHAs, or sardines or flax, wherever your source is for it. But, you know, in the new book, we also talk about supplementation. And I've avoided this subject for about 30 years. But just so many people ask. So I talk about just the human studies on various supplements. And I don't think people have to do all of these things. And in fact, mm-hmm. I don't really think it's a good idea to do all of these things at all. But supplements have been shown, especially if you're deficient in the key ones, especially vitamin B for your brain, or you check your vitamin D levels also as well. But if you're not going to get choline from eggs or soybeans or wherever your source is, then you could supplement with it, right? It could play a vital role in your overall brain health. The acetylcholine, the neurotransmitter, helps with, you know, potentially with memory, with cognitive function. Big supplement for a lot of people that's lacking the DHAs. So if they're not getting it from a food, maybe supplementing with that. Your B vitamins are so important, B6, B9, B12s. And then, you know, when you're going into the more fringe stuff like creatine, mm-hmm. you know, we use it for working out, but huge benefits for cognitive energy. also as well. I don't know if you talked about that on your show.
I have. It's something that I take daily, almost daily, for brain focus. I've noticed such a difference, supporting methylation almost. What are your thoughts on nootropics?
So nootropics is something I personally use. I don't do them all the time. Like most things, I kind of cycle in and cycle out. Mm-hmm. Let's see, some of my favorite ones. Well, a lot of people use caffeine, right, for energy and potentially some focus. I combine that. I'm not a big coffee drinker. I'm more green tea, right? The L-theanine, which is an amino acid found in green tea, could be a powerful nootropic for some people. Everybody's a little bit different. The reason I like it is because caffeine tends to make me a little bit jittery, mm-hmm. and the L-theanine kind of mitigates that mm-hmm. also as well. Bacopa. It's an herb used in Ayurvedic medicine that you can look into. It could help with cognition, help with memory. Rhodiola is one that's getting a lot of interest. It's a Scandinavian herb that could potentially help reduce mental fatigue. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't want that? And improve cognitive function. Mm-hmm. I mentioned turmeric. This one being, wouldn't classify it as a nootropic, but the curcumin I mentioned as mm-hmm. anti-inflammatory potentially has benefits. Crossing the blood-brain barrier has been shown to lead to improvements in cognitive function, particularly in patients with Alzheimer's. Back in the nootropic space, lion's mane mushroom. I don't know if it's something that you've looked into. It has neuroprotective effects.
Yeah, absolutely.
Potentially help you to stimulate the synthesis of a nerve growth factor, promoting overall brain health.
Yeah, for sure. Something came to my mind. We spoke at an Asabim event last year in Palm Springs, and I took my son. He was 16 at the time. I took him to your talk. He's a super fan of yours now after listening to talk. And I remember now of you teaching us the brain foods using parts in our body. Can you share with everybody about it?
Absolutely. So even if you take the foods that I rattled off, well, let's say the person who's listening right now, imagine that you're driving, you get a call from one of us and saying, you know, maybe Will says, hey, while you're out, you know, we're going to do like a podcast party and you want to be really good brain foods and kind of rattle off the 10 that I rattled off earlier. And they're like, oh, I can't write it down, or I'm in the shower and I can't write it down. It's always when you have these, I don't know why you'd be picking up the phone in the shower, but so I wrote the chapter on memory, which is again, the largest chapter in the book because it's the foundation. I wrote it in Greece. As I found, I discovered that there's actually a goddess in ancient Greek mythology for memory, and her children are the 9 muses of love, literature, art, and science, right? And I was like, wow, the mother of art and literature and science is memory, right? And so they have a technique that was popularized by, the story goes, with Simonides. He's an orator, a poet, and he was giving a reading one day in a building. And when he left, something tragic happened. The building collapsed and no survivors. And because he was the only survivor, he had the responsibility of helping family members identify their loved ones. And he was able to do so because he remembered where they were all sitting. And we realized as hunter-gatherers, you didn't need to memorize like a lot of facts. You need to really remember where things are. Where's the fertile soil and where's the good food, the clean water, the enemy tribe? I mean, that was the things, because that was everything. So we tend to place information around us, remember where things are. And so if that's the case, let's take a place that you're very familiar with and then take the information you want to remember and place it around that familiar place. You could use your home, you could use your office, a previous home, your school, the mall. I mean, in this case, what you're referring to is your body. Mm-hmm. And so let's do it really fast. So don't just listen to this. Everyone do this, because I want you to be able to do it afterwards, because I feel like we don't understand unless we could do it. I'll make it fun and quick. So we're going to name 10 places on our body, top to bottom. And when I say it, I want everybody to touch that place on their body and say it out loud with me. So I'm going to touch the top of my head and I'm going to say the top. So what's the first place? Top.
Top.
Right? And then we're just going to go down the body. Second place is nose. So touch your nose, and second place, say it out loud. Everyone listening? Nose. And that's your verbal auditory memory, right? Okay. Number 3 is your mouth. So what's number 3? Mouth. Good. And then go to the side. Let's say your ears.
Ears.
And 5 is your throat. And so remember this, there's no such thing as a good or bad memory. There's a trained memory and an untrained memory. What we're doing is we're training our memory, right? We just did 1 through 5. 6 are your shoulders. So touch your shoulders. What's number 6?
Shoulders.
And then 7 is collar, your collarbone. So everybody touch their collar. 8, let's bring it to your fingers. Just wiggle your fingers. 8 is fingers. 9 is your belly. that's your belly. And then 10 is your bottom. So we're literally going top to bottom. And before I rattled off 10 foods, and they're more than 10 foods, right? But let's just take the ones that I mentioned. And again, remember, everyone's bio-individual and do microbiome, food sensitivity, do functional medicine doctor. Let's take the food that you want to remember and let's pretend we're 8 years old and make it visual and make it add some humor to it. And even if you can't imagine it, imagine you can imagine it. So what was the first place? Was the top, right? Top of her head. And I want you to imagine the first food were avocados. So just imagine you're using avocados like a scalp conditioner or hair conditioner. You're making guacamole on top of your head. Just kind of feel it. If it makes you laugh, that's why you remember it. Because what we hear, we forget. What we see, we remember. And what we feel, we understand, right? And so if you could see it, feel it, and hear it, you're going to be unforgettable. So the second place is what?
Nose.
Your nose. And let's make the second brain food blueberries. So imagine blueberries coming out of your nose. And so what does that feel like? What is that? What do those blueberries smell like? Those brain berries. All right. Third place is your what?
Mouth.
Mouth. And I mentioned broccoli. So let's imagine a big piece of broccoli stuck in your teeth. How annoying. You just can't get it out. And you're embarrassed because people see it. Maybe you have multiple places in your teeth, but broccoli. Broccoli. And taste it too. Great. Maybe it's raw broccoli. So I could taste what that tastes like. All right. Number four are your what?
Ears.
Ears. And I mentioned olive oil. So imagine maybe you have olive earrings or maybe you're cleaning your ears with olive oil. Now notice you don't have to repeat it over and over again because that's where most people go. They repeat the phone number over and over again or the name over and over again. Here you see it, feel it, hear it once, you'll remember it. All right. Number five is your throat. And the fifth brain food I mentioned were eggs. And the choline in eggs. And just so imagine instead of an Adam's apple, maybe you have a hard-boiled egg. I don't know. Or lots of eggs around your throat. Great. Okay, that's number five. Six are your shoulders. Let's make your green leafy vegetables like kale and spinach maybe. Okay. And again, I understand some people can't process kale and it has a form of hormesis, but just imagine shoulder pads made of kale and spinach.
Okay.
You know, if somebody else has a different kind of diet and they want to put bone broth here, or whatever, you can put there also on your shoulders. All right. Seven is your collar. And these are your fatty fishes. Obviously, we'd be careful of toxicity and mercury, everything, but maybe you're getting from clean source, salmon, sardines. Maybe you have a necklace made out of salmon sushi. Maybe make it a week old. Ooh. So then really get your senses, right? You'll never forget that.
Right.
If you had to wear that for the day, you would remember 10 years from now without studying it. All right. That was number seven. Eight are your fingers. And I mentioned turmeric. So that's that golden powder. And just that's easy. You just can't get it off your fingers. So maybe you're making some kind of golden milk latte or whatever, and you just can't get the turmeric off your fingers, the curcumin. All right. Number nine is you're almost done, your belly. And I mentioned some of the nuts, especially like walnuts. And so imagine somebody eating walnuts out of your belly button. Nice. You're never going to forget that. And then finally, number 10 is your bottom. And that was the dark chocolate. So I don't even want to know what everyone's going to picture, but dark chocolate bottom. All right. Now you are at the store, the market, and you get that, you know, you got that call earlier from Will. And you're going there and you don't even need a grocery list. Right. A lot of people even make their grocery list in triplicates and they still forget it, right? Mm-hmm. Or their phone dies or whatever. So now you're just walking the aisles and you trained your brain. And it was a great exercise for your brain also. Go down your body. So that as you're walking down the aisle, the first thing you need to get on the top of your head is
avocados.
And coming out of your nose, you have the
blueberries
and stuck in your teeth. You have that annoying
broccoli,
and you're cleaning your ears
with olives.
Yeah, for the olive oil. And then your throat, instead of an Adam's apple, you had like eggs. And then your shoulders, you have shoulder pads.
Kale and spinach.
Perfect. And then the collar, you have a necklace of
week-old salmon sushi.
Yes, this is the wild salmon. And then from there, the eight are your fingers, and you have all that
turmeric,
and out of your belly button,
walnuts.
And then finally your bottom
chocolate, dark chocolate.
And just notice also, so it's amazing. And I'm hoping, I mean, I would love for people to actually take a screenshot of wherever they're consuming this podcast episode and then tag us both in it and tell us how well you did. You know, can you actually state from memory, don't cheat, but can you state the 10 foods? And I'm curious if people could do it backwards. Can they go from their bottom, dark chocolate, right, to their belly button, which was the walnuts, to the turmeric, all the way back to the avocados and your top of your head. So again, you know, you could do this in your home. You could stand in the doorway of your kitchen and go clockwise and say, okay, the microwave is the first place, the stovetop is the second place, the refrigerator is the third, the dishwasher is the fourth, the sink is the fifth. And then you can walk into the next room and just do it again for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then all of a sudden you have 10 new places. And what can you put there? You could put anything. You could put the key ideas to a talk, or you could store client information there. If you're a student, you could put, you know, it's all about taking imagery because Einstein said imagination is more powerful than knowledge. Mm-hmm. And your visual cortex takes up so much more real estate than the other senses. And so we tend to remember what we see, because how many people listening are better with faces than you are with names, right? You look at somebody and say, I remember your face, I forgot your name. You never go to someone and say the opposite. You never go to someone and say, I remember your name, but I forgot your face, right? Mm-hmm. There's a Chinese proverb that says, what I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. What I do, I understand. Oh, we heard the name, we forgot it. Or we heard the brain food, we forgot it. But if you could see it and feel it, you'll understand it much better.
I am so excited to share a new favorite skincare brand here at the Telehealth Center. It's called Oak Essentials. We've been recommending it to patients. We've been using it ourselves. Freaking love it. Oak Essentials line is full of luxurious products that really work, especially if you're trying to achieve that healthy, natural, glowing skin look. These products are clean. They're effective. They were launched in 2021 by the team behind Jenny Kane. Oak Essentials is known for its simple approach to self-care, with a lineup of foundational skincare staples made with high-quality ingredients to create products that drive results. Some of our favorite products here at the Telehealth Center is their moisture-rich balm. It's a nutrient-rich balm that supports collagen production and delivers serious hydration for a luminous glow. For daytime use, a little goes a long way. You don't need much. Apply in the evening to lock in moisture as you sleep. It's the definition of beauty sleep, guys. Oak Essentials only uses the best ingredients. In the balm, you'll find sea buckthorn fruit oil. It's the highest plant-based source of vitamin C, vitamin E, and healthy fatty acids for your skin barrier.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. But Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows,
including omega-7, which effectively supports collagen production, plus it's rich in beta-carotene, an antioxidant powerhouse that is known to fight free radical damage and slow the accelerated aging process. You can buy the moisture-rich balm on its own or as a part of the Oak Essentials best-selling bundles for a simple start-to-finish skincare routine. This holiday season, get yourself or someone you love Oak Essentials. It's a go-to skincare brand
for radiant and glowing skin. My followers get 25% off their first order when they use our exclusive link, oakessentials.com/WillCole at checkout. That's 25% off your first order at oakessentials.com/WillCole. Whether you're starting from scratch or filling in the gaps, Oak Essentials gives you one less thing to worry about. Treat yourself because you deserve it. You know, I'm one of my favorite things I have every day when I'm at the telehealth center in between consults, I'm having one scoop and a cup of water, AG1. Without fail, it's a game changer. I use it myself. I've turned everybody at the telehealth center on it as well. And we recommend it to patients too. AG1 is a simple, effective way to support foundational nutrition. That's the key term here. Because when I'm looking at labs, I see nutrient deficiencies all the time, which you need for healthy energy levels, brain function, hormone function, digestion, inflammation levels, immune system function, all the things. And AG1 fills in the gaps for the most common nutrient deficiencies. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition. It's the foundation. It's what we all need. Continuously refining this formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. Think of it like this. This is how I break it down. I think of AG1 like a multivitamin, a multimineral, a probiotic blend, an adaptogenic blend, a functional mushroom blend. I think I got it all. All of that in one scoop every single day. You can put it in water, like I said. When I'm traveling, I'll take the AG1 travel packs, or you can mix it in a smoothie if that's your thing. I've noticed such a difference in my digestion, in my gut health, in my skin health, and energy levels. I don't get that afternoon slump of energy when I'm consistent with my AG1. AG1 is a supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why they've been a partner since day one of The Art of Being Well, because I'm a super fan. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply. You get a whole year supply of vitamin D3, K2, which we all need. And also 5 free of those AG1 travel packs that I talked about with your first purchase. So go to drinkag1.com/WillCole. That's drinkag1.com/WillCole. Check it out. I took your quick brain code quiz, CODE quiz.
Oh, I love this. This is my favorite topic.
I did it in preparation of our conversation today, and I got the dolphin.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
All right. So, you know, like there's personalized medicine, obviously, you know, based on our genetics, our personalized nutrition, maybe based on our nutrient profile or microbiome. We created a personalized learning based on our cognitive type. And I realized after 30 years of doing this, and I've been doing this with one-on-one coaching, but for the first time, we've released it out to the world in the Limitless Expanded Edition. We do a whole chapter and we created an assessment that only takes 4 minutes. It's kind of like, what Game of Thrones character are you? And it's fun like that. It's multiple choice. You just pick the one that resonates with you the most quickly. And what it allows you to do is get insight onto your specific brain type. I pulled to create this. I was inspired by things like personality types, like Myers-Briggs, left brain, right brain dominance theory, visual auditory kinesthetic processing, multiple intelligence theory, Howard Gardner's work out of Harvard, introvert, extrovert, and all these modalities, right? And I realized that not every tool or technique works for everybody, right? Just like not every supplement or food necessarily or exercise would work just for everybody. And so we're all a little bit, just like we're bio-individual, we're also a little bit mentally individual. And so I realized people fall in 4 main buckets. This is a lens or a framework where the menu is not the meal, right? The map is not the territory, but it's a guide you to give you distinctions to kind of a lens to look at the world, mm-hmm. to see how you learn best, think best, and also how you are influenced also, or how you parent also. It's based on your brain types. Because sometimes when someone's trying to learn something, is you're a different brain animal, and I use animals as the metaphor, than the teacher's brain animal. Mm-hmm. And you're communicating and you're just like passing each other and you're just not connecting. And it's like two ships in the night. You don't even realize the other one's there. So it's kind of like, you know, if your dominant hand is right, it doesn't mean you don't use your left. It's just the left would take longer and I feel more uncomfortable. And sometimes when people are learning something, they're trying to learn it with the opposite hand. So it mm-hmm. takes longer and it feels uncomfortable. All right. So really quickly, use the word code, your brain code, C-O-D-E. So these are your animals and the dominant traits. The C is a cheetah. And the dominant trait for a cheetah is they're fast, right? They take action. And the cheetahs in your life, they adapt very quickly. They're highly intuitive. They thrive in fast-paced environments. The O are your owls. And your owls, their primary trait, if the cheetah is action, the owl is logic. They love data. They love numbers. They love facts and they love figures, right? And notice, just even saying that, a cheetah and owl, they act differently. They would read differently. A cheetah would skim and scan. An owl would read for those details, right? Mm-hmm. As a simple example. D in code are your visionary dolphins. And they're extremely creative. They have very strong pattern recognition, right? They can maybe even see a future where other people can't yet see it, or build like Walt Disney or J.K. Rowling's would be an example of creative dolphins. And then finally, your E in code are your elephants. And your elephant's dominant trait is empathy. These are your community builders. They're extremely loyal. They hold teams together. They have high levels of empathy and compassion and strong interpersonal skills. Now, that's a very brief overview. And people could find out what their brain animal is. We do a whole chapter here in the new book, Limitless Expanded. And also, we built an assessment that you took called mybrainanimal.com. mybrainanimal.com. And when you take it in 4 minutes, you get a personalized learning track based on your animal on how to read better and how to remember names, on how to pick up another language, and even how to be able to communicate and lead. Let me give people some examples, because people could go through this. It's interesting. Like, we had our team take this assessment, mm-hmm. and 100% will of our customer service team, they're all elephants. And we didn't sort for them that way. But it's interesting, because you would lean into your strengths, because they're highly empathetic. They're there to serve. There are community builders, right? They want people to feel seen. They want them to feel heard and valued and validated. So it's interesting. Like, our CFO is an owl, as he's a numbers guy, mm-hmm. right? My business partner of 17 years, our CEO, she's a dolphin, because she's our leader. She's a creative visionary, mm-hmm. right? She can see things and see answers to problems that other people can't see. So it's interesting how it plays out. Even if you take pop culture, you'll see this everywhere. Let's say Friends. Well, most people saw that sitcom. Joey would be a cheetah. Highly intuitive, just goes with the flow and adapts, just takes actions, doesn't think about it so much, right? Mm-hmm. Ross would be your owl. He's a professor. He's a scientist. He's very astute, knows a lot of information and facts. Phoebe could be your dolphin, very creative and expressive and passionate, right? Monica held everyone together, always wanted to host all the parties at her apartment. Mm-hmm. She would be your elephant. So you can see this in Star Wars and Harry Potter and Star Trek and Lord of the Rings, all different places. But the thing is there's a scene in The Matrix where Neo goes to see the Oracle for the first time, and they're in her kitchen. And I don't think many people saw this, but above the door was a sign, and the sign said, "Know yourself." And I think a big part, Will, for us to just on this path of growth and fulfillment, I think half of it is having the curiosity to know yourself. Mm-hmm. So we go to like therapy, or we journal, we meditate, we do the inner work. And then the other half is, once you know yourself, having the courage to be yourself, right? Mm-hmm. To be that person in a world full of other people's opinions, or fear for making mistake and being rejected and other people's expectations. So it's a different art and skill. But I think this assessment will give you an idea of how you think and how you can learn better based mm-hmm. on your strengths. You can even see it in people's communication. Mm-hmm. So for example, a cheetah, think about it. They're just direct, straight to the point, right? It's all about speed. Mm-hmm. Their speech is concise. They're focused on action-oriented words. They dislike beating around the bush, mm-hmm. right? Your owls would be more methodical and analytical, and they would communicate in more of a logical sequence. They would present facts and figures and data. And notice, even if you're selling to an owl, sometimes just like love languages, right? If you have acts of kindness or words of affirmation, you tend to lean into your type of love language to somebody else, even though they can be something else, mm-hmm. right? Same thing with sales, but knowing that it gives you an appreciation that everybody is a little bit different, and it's not how smart you are, it's how are you smart? So an owl would love the presenting of facts and figures and data. So if I wanted to sell to an owl, I would present it that way. A dolphin communicates, they're very visionary, they're very expressive. They would speak about the big picture, future plans, innovative ideas. They'd be very enthusiastic. You know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. An elephant would communicate with more empathy. There would be more collaborative. Elephants are keen on understanding and validating other people's feelings, their perspectives. They want people to feel seen and valued. They would use, even in their words, you would know it's an elephant because they wouldn't use words like I or me. They would use words like we and us, mm-hmm. emphasizing group unity. And they would want to create consensus amongst everybody and take time to hear everybody's point of view. Mm-hmm. So my point is, speaking a million miles an hour on this is just it opens up new perspectives. Yeah. And so people could take the assessment, they'll get a detailed report and follow up on how to lean into their owl, how to hire and manage teams of different animals and so much more.
I love it. Thanks for that. As you know, the podcast is called The Art of Being Well. At the end of every episode, we have your Art of Being Well. This is Jim Quick's Art of Being Well. What's your personal dream vacation?
My personal dream vacation.
Yeah.
I travel a lot for work, yeah. and luckily I get to take, you know, family along with. And because I'm so in my mind all the time, Will, I'm one of those people that jumps out of planes and swims with sharks and does have to be a lot of physicality. And so, I mean, I live my, this is so cliche, but I live my dream every single day because I do this almost 7 days a week. Because I feel like if you could do what you love or find the love in what you do, you could add 5 days to every single week of your life. And so I feel like this is not work for me. I feel a moral obligation to help people to do this because I know what it's like to struggle. I'm a strong elephant. So I have a lot of empathy. So as I was bullied and struggling and, you know, like all these kind of things, I would just watch people because I suffered so much growing up. I could detect suffering and feelings of other people. And hopefully it makes me a better coach, mm-hmm. right? So I know when people are experiencing anxiety or uncomfortable or self-doubt or fear, because I felt, you know, all of the above. But I really love what I do. But if I had to travel, I love just being on a beach somewhere with a book, but I can't do that for like multiple days because I want to create and I want to impact. And how about you? I'm curious about what your answer is. You probably shared it.
I don't know. I would probably say beach too. Same thing. I couldn't do it for long because I love what I do. I'd love a little break here and there, a little reprieve. And I love reading too. So
yeah. And I think sometimes it's important for all of us, whether it's being able to get on a plane or not, is to disconnect so we could reconnect. You know, there's a quote in my book, Limitless Expanded, that says, life is the letter C between B and D, where B is birth, D is death, life C, choice. Mm. And our life is a sum total of all the choices we made up to this point. Who are we going to spend time with? What are we going to eat? Are we going to fast today? Or are we going to like read today? Are we going to exercise? I do the things that, you know, do the things that are good for us. And I just really feel for everyone listening that there's a version of yourself that you haven't met yet. And I feel like the goal is we show up every single day until we're introduced, because clearly these difficult times, they could distract you. These difficult times can diminish you, or these difficult times, they could develop you. We always decide. And that's really why I wrote the book, to be an owner's manual for the most important organ you have, which is your brain, and to remind everybody that they are the pilot of their brain. They're not the passenger. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what you're struggling with right now, once you understand how your brain works, you can work your brain. In fact, I bet most people still remember, you know, most of the 10 foods.
Yeah.
So it didn't take a lot of time. It takes more time to explain it than, you know, than it does actually do it.
Yeah.
If you could do that, what else can you do? Yeah. If you could read 25%, 50%, 300% faster. If you can remember names, learn another language, change your habits. We talk about flow and hacking flow states and getting in the zone. I mean, it's just, life just gets a lot easier, mm-hmm. and you create this momentum, yeah. right? Where you can reveal and realize more of your purpose, your passion, your possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. You talk about reading. Obviously, everybody will get Limitless Expanded. But for you, in the past year, what's a book that you've read, maybe on the beach, maybe not on the beach, fiction, nonfiction, it doesn't matter, that really inspired you?
If people have seen pictures with me on social media, we're connected there with Oprah or Elon or whoever. You know, people always ask how we connected and how we bonded. And I'm going to tell you, we bonded over books, because you read to succeed. And so if you could do anything and take anything out of this conversation, just read 10 minutes a day, you know, just a little bit, and just start with reading one page or one line, and little by little, a little becomes a lot. I read every book that we have guests on for our podcast. You know, it's something that I wouldn't have them on if I didn't feel like their information is just really, really amazing. I mean, just even looking at, I have two rooms full of books, and the books are like my best, you know, best friend. So it's hard to like, which is your favorite? But The Creative Act by Rick Rubin, I mean, goodness. I mean, there's so many books there. I recently reread The Counterclockwise Study, which is an interesting book by Dr. Ellen Langer. She's a professor of psychology at Harvard. And the end is, let me give you the quick of it really quick. She took like eight guys, I just recently read those, eight guys out of a senior center. They're in their like 70s and they put them into a monastery, but they decorated the monastery as if it was 20 years earlier. And so the newspaper, the television, they took the mirrors out so they couldn't see each other, you know, themselves. And before they went in, they test their biology and their mental faculties. They tested their hearing. They tested their vision. They tested their physical strength. They tested their focus and memory. And they put them in there for a week, just 1 week. And they said, hey, just pretend it's 20 years earlier. You know, act and communicate as if that's what it is. And after 7 days, they took them out and these men transformed. They looked younger, and that's subjective. But what's not is their focus was better. Their memory is better. They had better hearing. They had better eyesight and a better memory. And you can look at the study in the book. It's called The Counterclockwise Study. And this is the title of the book. And I recently reread it for that podcast episode. But it just shows you the power of your mind.
Right.
The power of belief. And it makes you kind of question like what's real and what's a lie. A lie is a limited idea entertained.
Wow.
So and that was really kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, that is mind-blowing. My friend, this has been a rich conversation, as I know it would have been, but where can people go to get the book, take the quiz? Where do they go?
The best thing, the quiz, you could do it. And right now we're offering it complimentary in celebration of the new book, mybrainanimal.com. And I would challenge you, will you get some nice artwork that comes with it when you take your test and just post it and tag Will and tag myself? Because I want to know what's the dominant like in this group. You know, are you dolphins? Are you owls? Or are you cheetahs or elephants? And the book is available at limitlessbook.com. And when you go there, you get a free gift from me also as well. And I appreciate we're donating 100% of the proceeds to charity to build schools for children and Alzheimer's research, things we're very passionate about, and just connecting on social media. I'm at Jim Quick, K-W-I-K, my real last name.
I love it, Jim. Thanks so much for coming on the pod. Come back anytime.
Will, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back again next Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.